Research Theme Park is a magical place in the Carlette Psychiatry podcast that showcases papers that are practical, playful, and reveal a little bit about human nature. Today, we'll stop for lunch with a motley cast of characters in Foodland. First course, a 13-minute intervention for diet and depression.
The studies keep rolling in that a Mediterranean-style diet treats depression. But how do you teach this diet? In the pivotal trial of 2018, it was taught through individual weekly sessions with a dietitian. The next trial used an educational group, and this new study pared it down even further, teaching the Mediterranean diet through a single session 13-minute video. Like the first two trials, this randomized controlled trial took place in Australia. It enrolled 76 college students who were eating a poor diet, heavy in processed foods, sugar, and saturated fats, which is also known as the typical Western diet. They were not specifically diagnosed with DSM-5 major depression, but they had moderate to high depression on the depression, anxiety, and stress scale. The intervention was a 13-minute video that taught them how to increase vegetables, fruits, whole grain cereals, protein, unsweetened dairy, fish, nuts, seeds, olive oil, and spices. The spices, in particular, were 1 teaspoon of turmeric and 1 teaspoon of cinnamon on most days. Both of these have antioxidant effects on the brain, and turmeric in particular has a couple studies where it treated depression. There were also a few foods to decrease: refined carbohydrates, sugar, fatty or processed meats, and soft drinks. If you didn't get all that, it's in the podcast notes along with daily servings for each group. We also put the diet tests they used in this study in those notes. Try it yourself. Unless you're consciously trying to eat healthy in this Western diet world, there's a good chance you would have qualified for the study. In addition to the 13-minute video, the intervention group was also given a basket of healthy ingredients, gift cards to buy more of them, and they were followed up with 2 5-minute phone calls throughout the 3-week study. So overall, a very minimal intervention. But surprisingly, it worked. In the end, depression improved in the dietary group with a p-value of 0.007 and a medium effect size of 0.65. To put that in perspective, SSRIs have an effect size of around 0.3 to 0.6. One weakness of this study is that the other group didn't even get so much as a placebo. They were simply asked to return after 3 weeks for follow-up, which makes them more like a waitlist control and might have inflated that effect size. Next up, salt takes a toll on the mind.
Sugar, saturated fats, and processed foods. Each of these are bad for the heart and the brain, and each has been linked to poor cognition and low mood. But what about salt? A new study in Nature found that a high salt diet impairs cognition and contributes to dementia. Researchers at the Weill Cornell School of Medicine found that mice fed a high salt diet had lower levels of nitric oxide, which is essential for maintaining vascular health. Nitric oxide widens and relaxes blood vessels. It also affects the stability of tau proteins, which play a role in dementia. And this new study found that the high salt diet was causing hyperphosphorylation of tau proteins. And the research builds on a 2018 study where mice were fed a high salt diet. That study had striking results. The mice on a high salt diet became unable to complete daily tasks, such as building their nests, and had problems passing memory tests. At the time, it was thought that the salt was impairing brain function through its known effects on vascular health. And this study suggests that more than one mechanism may be at play, adding hyperphosphorylation of tau proteins to the list. What's the clinical message? When patients buy packaged foods, advise them to choose the item with the lowest amounts of salt, added sugar, and processed foods, like the ones with a lot of chemical ingredients. And now for high tea.
Tea drinkers have long been known to have lower rates of dementia and depression, and a new study, although not a controlled one, found for the first time that people who drank green tea, oolong tea, or black tea at least 4 times a week for about 25 years had brain regions that were interconnected in a more efficient way on imaging studies. One of those more efficient regions was the default mode network, which is the seat of the ruminative style of thinking so common in depression and anxiety. Tea contains many brain-friendly ingredients, including flavanols and L-theanine, and the full body of research on tea has focused on any tea that contains the tea leaf. In other words, not herbal teas, which don't contain tea at all. One of those studies was a large meta-analysis of tea, which found that the rate of depression declined with each glass of tea drunk each day. Going up to 6 glasses of tea a day, the rate of depression just kept declining after controlling for other variables that would lead a person to drink tea. For coffee, they had a different finding, a J-shaped curve, where a little bit of coffee, about a mug a day, decreased the risk of depression, but going beyond a mug a day was associated with a greater risk of depression. Do walnuts help memory? Maybe.
Also in the news is a 2-year study that randomized over 600 older adults to a walnut-enriched or a walnut-free diet. The results were a little disappointing. No difference overall. But in a subgroup, the ones who smoked and started out with poor cognitive functioning, the walnuts had a mild protective effect. Walnuts contain omega-3 fatty acids and polyphenols, which have previously been found to counteract oxidative stress and inflammation, both of which are drivers of cognitive decline. The main limitation of this finding is that it was only positive on a post-hoc analysis, otherwise known as data fishing. A few years ago, walnuts were also put through a randomized controlled trial of depression. Unfortunately, the omega-3 rich nuts made no difference. Walnuts may not have shaken up the antidepressant world, but blueberries tell a different story.
Randomized controlled trials usually involve pills, but these two I'm going to talk about used blueberries to treat depression. Which raises the obvious question, what do you do for a placebo? The brain benefits of blueberries are pretty well known, so these studies wouldn't mean much if people knew that they were getting a daily dose of blueberries instead of a placebo. Here's how they did it. They didn't actually give blueberries. They gave an extract of all the blueberry brain-friendly ingredients, while the control group got a powder that tasted like blueberries. And the result? Blueberry extract improved mood both shortly after eating it the same day, and those improvements also built up over a 4-week clinical trial. So far, pretty good news for people who like blueberries, but let's talk about the limitations. These studies were small. The first involved 64 children aged 12 to 17 years old, so teenagers. And these kids did not have major depressive disorder. They just had some depressive symptoms. So we don't know if blueberries will help people in a deep depression, but they may just lift mood when depression is mild. And how do they do it? We don't know. But blueberries have something in common with tea. Both are heavy in brain-friendly antioxidant flavanols, as is red wine and dark chocolate. This new crop of blueberry trials was done in children and adolescents with mild depressive symptoms, but we should mention that the humble blueberry already has a pretty good track record in older adults with cognitive decline. Last year, a systematic review of all of those studies found that blueberries improved cognition in older adults and in the young as well. At least one of those studies was done in 8-year-olds. Some of these studies use blueberry juice, others extract, and others use the real thing. But if you're planning on trying this at home, we'll leave you with this dosing strategy. The various forms of blueberries and the various doses equated to about 1/2 to 1 cups of blueberries a day.
You can find references to all these studies in the show notes for this episode. And now, as you exit the park, we'd like to thank you for helping us reach a new milestone. The Carlet Psychiatry Podcast is now ranked 1 on Apple Podcasts among all mental health podcasts. Yay! If you like the show, share it with a friend. You can text it to them with a button in your podcast player. There's nothing wrong with doing that, and it helps us stay free of industry support.